turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 is our scripture reference for this morning. And as you're turning there, the thought I'd like to place in your mind is the thought of needing someone to speak for us. And maybe you've been there, maybe you've had times where you needed someone to speak for you. We understand that in our system of advocacy, we have lawyers that speak for us, we have child services that speak for children, we have even the news media that tries to speak for us and others, especially when we're going through a hard time and there's a need of a defense. I remember early on in my military career, I had someone that accused me of racism, and just the very thought of that just shook me to my core. And I was, it was someone that worked for me. He didn't get promoted at the time, and he thought because of not being promoted that I was holding something against him. And I remember sitting in my commander's office, and my commander was just, he was kind of incensed about it. And he went on a mission to speak for me and to say, you know, of all people to accuse of that, those words don't even, you know, fit or could even fathom being Jeff Williams. Because I remember long ago someone said to me, live your life in such a way that if someone says something negative about you, no one would believe it. And so this, my commander didn't believe it at all. And I remember after it was all cleared up and, you know, my name and my reputation had been exonerated, he brought the individual in who made the accusation, and he just spoke with him. And he shared with him. And I was sitting in there watching him speak of me and on my behalf. And so much so that this individual deeply apologized to me. See, there are times in life that maybe all of us have been there and needed someone to speak on our behalf. And there can be many in this world that can do that for us, as I mentioned before. Even there was a TV show called The Advocate, where her mission was to protect and rescue those that were in need of help. But I want to remind you and tell you and share with you today that there is a true advocate for each and every one of us that's greater than any other. And so we will see this in 1 John 2, chapter 1 and 2, if you would read with me this morning. It says this, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The true advocate. As we take a moment to just think about this passage of scripture that the Apostle John is writing, and he's writing this particular letter, epistle, with the idea of emphasizing and expressing the full fellowship the believer could have with God, Jesus Christ, and should have in our growing relationship with others. We get the idea from John's letter that he so desires that our relationships would not be hindered, that our relationship with God would not be hindered, but that it would grow, that our relationship with Christ would be a relationship as a brother and joint heirs with Christ. And that we would see the abiding love that God has for each and every one of us. But also he makes this statement in chapter 1 as he begins this epistle. He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That we would truly understand how joyful and how our joy can be full in this relationship that we have with God, this relationship that we have with Christ and with others. And in chapter 2, John gives another reason for writing with the same thoughts in mind. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Let me take a moment to define this word advocate. See, in the Greek it means parakletos, which is defined as one who pleads another's case, who helps another by defending or comforting him. And so as we examine 1 John 2:1, without careful reflection on the word parakletos, advocate, defender, and comforter, we could conclude that there is this ongoing defense for us with God, or comforting of God, easing God's wrath in the face of our sin. However, I would challenge us to look at this passage through the lens of the finished work of Christ, that we take a moment to just examine, to exegesis, to allow God to speak to us. And maybe it's for some of us, it's going to throw our theology or our religion for a loop. And so, yes, there is an ongoing defense and a comfort, but I would challenge us not to look so much at God as the object of the advocacy. Don't look at it being so much that Christ is advocating to God. See, look what 1 John 2:1, 2 and 2 tells us. "And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." See, Christ is not trying to ask God to forgive us. God has already done that. Because Christ is the righteous. And he is the righteous payment for all of our sins. You see the word propitiation there? See, that word propitiation means covering. It means atoning sacrifice. It was the sacrifice that made all things right. It atoned for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And so God looks at Christ in us and sees all the righteousness we will ever need to have access and relationship with God. See, it's important that we wrap that around our mind, because sometimes we can get so caught up in this humanism that we'll miss that very point. And I'd like to share with you also the death of Jesus, and God's arrangement accomplished the purchase of at least two things at once. See, Jesus died as an exchange or a ransom for our sin debt and for us. As the redeemed of the Lord, the purchased possession. When Jesus said, "It is finished," this is a merchant word. This is a purchasing word that means the debt is fully paid. And the second thing that we can see in the death and the blood of Christ is when Jesus' blood spilled on the ground, it signaled another part of redemption hinted at in Scripture, that the earth itself was purchased by Christ at his death. And so we can grab the understanding that the completed purchase was for the people and the place. And so as our body lays down and it goes to ashes in this earth, we know that there's a redeeming that God has at the appointed time, that God will redeem, or Christ will come back to redeem his people. And there will be a new earth. There will be a new body, because Christ purchased it all. So what's the purpose of Christ's advocacy? If we see that there is finished work, that there is completion, when we come to Christ, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he died on that cross for us so that we wouldn't suffer death and that we wouldn't have to stand before the throne of God for ourselves and our own works, but Christ finished the work and that he is all sufficient. So what is Christ advocating for? There's two things I'd like to share with you. Christ as a defender and Christ as the comforter. See, we can see a little bit in Scripture of the defense of Christ. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, here's what it says. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. He's all powerful. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See, Christ took authority over Satan, over his kingdom, but there's also a limited access that Satan still has in to go before God. And Christ is defending us in heaven before the one that accuses us day and night. See, there's a reality that we need to understand, that Satan has not stopped trying to judge us, to trying to condemn us. If we sin, Satan still goes before God to throw all of our sin in the face of God. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the righteous, stands present and defends every accusation, every charge, every blemish, and he says it is finished. Can you imagine him going before God with all of your flesh stuff and trying to get God to condemn? And see, there's a defense occurring by Christ in heaven. See, we even see in the Old Testament that Job talked about it a little bit when he was going through all of his trials. In Job's 22, verse 25, he says, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. See, we are safe in our King, in our God. See, if any man sin, the devil tries to take that record, that report, that charge sheet before God and demand a conviction. But there is the true and sure advocate in heaven. Christ is not pleading our cause to God, but is with God. He's seated on the right hand of God. He is with God, defending, advocating with the Father. And throws the devil's case and his accusations out. See, this is what Christ does in heaven for us with God. Look with me in Romans 8, verse 34. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, there is that is risen again. See, Christ died for it all. And he rose again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. So see, Christ is not trying to appeal to God for us. He's already done all the work, but he is interceding for us. Christ is interceding for us in heaven, that our relationship with the Father would continue to grow, that our faith would not fail, that we would be strengthened in our inner man with him, that the weapons of our warfare would be mighty, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that he that have began a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it to the day of redemption. So Christ is interceding. in every trial and every tribulation and every situation of our life if we let him. But see, there is also important that we see Christ as comforter. The comforter of Christ, see. The comforter is the second meaning of that Greek word parakletos, advocate, that he's a defender and that he's a comforter. See, comforter is a name given by Christ three times to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit. We see it in John 14, 6. We see it in John 15, 26, and we see it again in John 16, 7. If you turn with me to John 16, 7, it says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." See, Jesus Christ is sending the Comforter. That's an advocate. The Holy Spirit as advocate comforts us in a distressed world with the truth of Christ. When the devil comes at us with accusations, and when we think we have fallen short of the glory of God, the Holy Spirit reminds us that Christ is the righteous, not we ourselves. That Christ is the one who have put our faith, that we have put our faith in and trust in, and can trust in him even now and forevermore. See, I made a statement intentional. I said, when we think we've fallen short of the glory of God. See, that word falling short is a phrase of condemnation. It's not a statement of just thinking we've messed up, but thinking that we have lost God. We've lost Christ. We've been separated from him. So we've been bought with a price. We've been sealed by the blood of Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. See, look at me in Romans 8, 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, you're not the same person anymore. That old man has died. You are now a spiritual being if you've proclaimed the name of Christ, if you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior. So when the devil and this flesh tries to speak and get us to believe the lies about who we are, the Holy Spirit brings comfort by guiding us in the truth. See, we see this a little bit in John 16, verse 12 through 14. It says, "I still have many things to say to you." See, Jesus is telling us this. "But you cannot bear them all. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." See, that just speaks volumes to me. See, I believe the Holy Spirit is listening to everything that's being spoken in heaven. And as Christ gave us the prayer and reminded us, "Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven." But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. See, the Godhead, Jesus, is speaking. The Holy Spirit is hearing. He's bringing truth and comfort. And look what he says, "He will glorify me. He will exalt me. He'll lift me up in your life. He'll remind you who I am, that I'm your Savior, that I'm your King, that I'm your Lord. That no matter what the devil tries to tell you, trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He'll proclaim it to you. He'll shout it. If you're sensitive and you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll speak mightily inside you. See, the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth of Christ, which brings comfort. Just as Christ is advocating a defense in heaven, He is advocating comfort in this earth. But this is not to be misunderstood, saints of God. This is not to be misunderstood as ease, that He's advocating ease for us, that we are sitting back or sliding back and letting Christ do all the work. But look with me in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. It says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my teachings, my instruction, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You'll find quiet strength. You won't be stirred up by so many things that's going on in this world that seems to just so easily beset us. But we'll be strengthened in our inner man. We'll have that quiet strength in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. We'll trust in His unchanging word. See, the Holy Spirit brings our remembrance, brings us to our remembrance, to things we have learned, that we can trust Him, that He is truly the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what the world tries to throw at us. See, the purpose of Christ as Comforter is that we are strengthened in our inner man, that we can stand strong in the power of His might. Christ's comforting is done through the Holy Spirit speaking to us and guiding us into all spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit comforts us with this truth, reminds us that we are set free in this truth, and that we are strengthened by this truth. So much so that we put on the new man. We don't just, you know, be saved, but we put on the character and the attributes of Christ. Look with me in Colossians 3, verse 10 through 12. "And put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge." The Holy Spirit will renew us as we study the Word of God, as we allow ourselves to be, you know, reminded of His word, renewed by His word, according to the image of Him who created Him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Cilician, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. See, we've been going through a study in Galatians on Wednesday night that reminds us that Christ is our all in all. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the sustainer of the whole world. It all consists and are held up by Him. And that's the one who went to the cross for you and I. And so that's the same one that defends us, the same one that comforts us, and the same one we stand in. And so I know that there's an elephant in the room. You know, some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, what about willful sin? What about, you know, we still in this flesh, we sin. See, after you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, sinning can hinder our relationship with the Father. And it's not His doing. It's we take our eyes off of Him. See, He's a righteous and holy God. And He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And because of Christ, we've become righteous in his sight. With all of the access to the throne of God. But when we get caught up in the things of this world, or we willfully sin, we take our eyes off of him. We go the way of the world. And we miss the abiding fellowship with our Father God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what does God do with this sin that we still can get caught up in, that hinders our relationship with God? But the living God not only covers us with the righteousness of Christ, but he convicts and he chastens us. Hebrews 2, verse 6 and 11. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, that's a chastening means he disciplines, he trains, he educates, because he wants us to truly understand and grow. But also that word scourges means to punish severely. To whom much is given, much is required. We don't like that word, do we? See, through that punishment, through that reaping what we sow, we learn, we grow. See, I used to tell my boys as they was growing up, I'd say, you know what? This could hurt me more than it hurts you, that I'm spanking you. But I don't do it because I want to do it. I do it because God told me to. So that you would be freed up to live a life that God has called you to. So that you would not be caught up in the bondage of this world. That you wouldn't be enslaved by sin. See, the results of God's love through discipline is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, when we're obeying his command and following his command, there's a peaceable fruit of righteousness. It produces peace in our life. No longer wrestling with God and wrestling with the sins of this world, but having peace with him and peace with ourselves. Because it can be hard trying to swim up current. Anybody ever tried it? Trying to swim against the grain. And so God so desires that we would trust him in all things, we would follow him. So let me conclude with this. Jesus Christ is the true advocate. We never go anywhere without Christ advocating for us, defending and comforting us, and interceding for us. See, I remember also when I was a captain, I had a new assignment. I'd been assigned as a battalion S4 logistics officer, and I had a civilian that worked for me. And this civilian did some things that he didn't tell me about that he should not have done, and it kind of blew up. And when the commander asked about it, he lied concerning it, and the commander looked at me, and I was the leader, responsible party, and I kind of felt myself looking at the guy that worked for me, and I was shocked and I was perplexed that he did what he did, and then he lied and kind of just like left it for me to deal with. So much so that when it came time as a military officer, one of the things that is vitally important for you to have done is to command a unit. You won't get promoted if you don't command the unit. And I was in line to be a commander, to command the next unit that was coming available. And so my commander, through the aftermath of this situation, called me in and she told me I was not going into command. And walked away. Went in my office. I remember sitting there. And if the first thing, of course, we want to say, how could this happen to me? You know, I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to say all these things that I didn't do. And I was brokenhearted. I remember just sitting in my office, just weeping a little bit. And I'm reminded through that time that I felt the Spirit of God just comfort me. I felt God reminding me that Christ has not forsaken you. And that he will defend, he will fight for you. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And so I heard that in my spirit, and I was going out trying to do the things that I knew to do and do it the right way. And the day turned into weeks, and week turns into month. And I remember reminding myself that I can trust in the Lord in all things. If I can follow his plan. And so time went on, and my commander started seeing these things, and God was just making it come available and unfold. All these things that had happened, everything that was done in the darkness started coming to light. And she saw my character in it all. How I didn't moan. I wanted to inside, you know. We beat it. We were there sometime, right? I didn't complain outwardly. I reminded myself about God's steadfast love for me. And so over time, she came back to me and she offered me a command. I went through that command for the year, and I remember her standing up and just talking to the entire command about me. And I heard the voice of God in all of that. I heard God saying, do you see your advocate? Do you see Christ? How what the devil meant for your bad, God turned it around for your good. That Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. That he is with us always, even until the end of the age. That our righteous covering, his righteous covering is over us. That his robe of righteousness surrounds us. And it is in him we move and breathe and have our being. Because Christ is the true advocate. He will not allow us to be accused of the things that he has paid for. And he paid for it all. So that we can have peace. Saints of God, we have peace with God. He reminds us of that in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, there's 3 points there, saints. We're not condemned. We have peace with God. We have access into this grace that we are righteous in God's eyes and in the eye of the law, that we can go boldly to the throne of grace. And let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that in the future coming of the perfect righteousness of God, that everything will be settled put in his proper place because Christ paid it all. He paid it all for you. He loves you so much that he will always defend you. He'll always comfort you because you put your faith and trust in him. Don't put it in yourself. Don't put it in this world. But trust him. And I guarantee you, you'll never regret it.